This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Get a Casper mattress and get a great night's sleep. Try it for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn and use the promo code Glenn. Get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. So glad that you have joined us today. Lot to talk about. Touch on the Super Bowl, some of the commercials, and some of the things that are happening around politics. But I really want to tell you a tale of two cities yesterday or last week. I experienced two radically different points of view within an hour of each other. And I brought in somebody I trust to tell me which way I should really be leaning. One is catastrophe, one is not so much. I want to hit with the not so much point of view that I heard last week and see if he can make heads or tails of it. We go there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I am just looking at the headline today. Any news polls, any polls that are negative, this according to Donald Trump, are fake news. That's the latest today. Any negative polls are fake news.
Wow.
We can either live in a fantasy world, or we can actually embrace the truth. It's amazing to me how so many people now on the left are saying we are at the point of catastrophe, that the West is about to collapse, that the dollar is about to collapse, that everything is on the verge of destruction, when they said anyone who said that before under Barack Obama was a lunatic. And now what do you have? Now you have a group of people on the right who have suddenly lost all perspective and say that this is going to take care of it, that Donald Trump can take care of this. It's $17 trillion in debt. Sorry, deficit. The real, wait, is that, that's debt, and then the deficit is $150 trillion.
Yeah, the
one way or another, we're screwed.
Trillion.
Yeah, it's, we're it's absolutely screwed. I went to Los Angeles last week, and I met with some investors. I met with a group of stock market guys who were telling me that I'm nothing but hot air, that there is no way anything that I say is coming our way. And I wanted to believe them badly. I brought in Chris Martinson. He does peakprosperity.com. He happens to be in town for the next couple of days, and I wanted to talk to you about what these guys said to me. Chris, they said, yes, we've printed $4 trillion, but it doesn't matter. That's nothing in compared to our GDP. That's just a blip. They said that the market is connected to fundamentals. And I said, where? And they said, everybody agrees that it is fundamentally sound. The stock market, those numbers are not inflation. You're crazy for saying that. One of them actually said, quote, if we have bad trade barriers, it's not going to matter. Quote, America could practically wall herself off and we would be fine. I've never heard, those were like 1930 answers if I've ever heard them. Do you have thoughts on any of those? I think your microphone is off. Can somebody turn his microphone on, please? Is Pac. I've not heard anything so optimistic. And they said it with such conviction, I wanted to believe them. Do we get another microphone in?
It might be he's not potted up in the other room.
Or is he not on?
Have you spoken?
Yes, he has.
Yeah, he's not
he's
up.
He's speaking, so it's not up.
We need the fourth
well,
mic.
Well, this
up.
Would be really good. Mm-hmm. This would really be good. There we go.
Yeah, that's it.
Are you there now?
Or not? No.
Nope.
Or not.
Can nope. we get another microphone in here, please, Tom?
Yeah, just use this.
I don't know.
Check.
Nope. Somebody, here, take Jeffy's mic here. Take Jeffy's mic. That's a dream come true. Taking his microphone.
You don't know what kind of disease is all over.
You don't have to take it down. Just grab his mic and clip it to your shirt there, real quick, Chris. Okay. So I've never heard anything so crazy as we could print $4 trillion and it's not going to matter.
I have a lot of thoughts about this. Look, the central banks have been printing money like crazy, and it's really benefited a very small select crew of people. And this is something that's really driving me crazy. Because, look, all the social tensions we're seeing, one of my key theories on this is that people are right to be angry. They're right to be concerned.
Yeah.
But they're fighting each other, not understanding where the shocks are coming from.
Correct.
Right? So they did these studies in the 40s where they would put a rat in a cage and shock the rat. And it would be miserable, but it would handle it. The trouble began when you put a second rat in the cage. Now they still administer the shocks, and they look at the other rat, and they say, oh, it's you, and they fight, right? Because they don't understand
really?
Where the shocks are coming from. The shocks that people are experiencing are very real. Get out of the, you know, the super uber wealthy Wall Street big money managers and talk to Main Street, and what you find is, no, it's getting harder and harder, and we can't get by on two incomes. And yes, my healthcare costs are spiraling out of control, and yes, the groceries do seem to be more expensive, and no, I can't afford college anymore. Those are real.
Right.
That's all very real stuff.
Right.
So for these ivory tower or super wealthy people to be going, I don't see any trouble. Of course
well,
they
what,
don't.
What's amazing is I then, within an hour, I was sitting and had an hour with a very large billionaire. First thing I said to him, he said, how's your day? And I said, well, it's been amazing. I just met with these guys from Wall Street that said everything is good. Now, this is a guy who's generally on the left. He's a Democrat. And he said, are you kidding me? This thing is on the verge of collapse. And I said, is this a new thought for you because of Donald Trump? And he said, no, the fundamentals are all wrong. And here's a guy who, again, has his own money at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody else's, who is saying, no, this is not going to be good.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, I get to talk to wealth conferences a lot. These are family offices, private equity, pension funds, people who are managing large amounts of money. And they fall into two classes, like you just mentioned. They fall into managing somebody else's money and managing their own money. These people, they're pretty happy. They think things are good, but they have to tell that tale. That's their job. The people who are managing their own money are very worried. They're getting very defensive. They're pulling out of the markets. They're going to cash. They're going to gold. They're doing things like this now because they're worried about what they see. And in fact, the people I know personally who are the most worried at this point in time are the people who have the most time in the markets. Hedge fund managers who've been doing this for 30 years, eating, breathing, sleeping. These guys don't sleep. 24/7, 365, there's a market going on. They've been tapped into it their whole lives, and they're very worried right now.
His point was, don't play the market. Just put your money with Apple and Google and these blue chips that are not going away. Catastrophic failure, nobody can plan for, he said. But these blue chips are not going away. And I love this line. The Great Depression is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And I thought, well, yeah, and almost everybody who lived through that is dead now. So it's a new lifetime to experience. Mm-hmm. What do you say to, blue-chip companies? They're not going away. Why not just leave your money in? You don't know the top or you never know the bottom.
Well, I have a position that it's time to be pretty defensive right now, and here's why. We can clearly see that a lot of the gains in the stock market have been due to central bank printing. And so the first question we have to ask is, look, can the central banks just keep printing? Maybe they can. You know, that's a valid point. We can take it from that point, but not from a fundamental standpoint. Right? When we look at stocks today, they are the most expensive they've ever been when we compare the price of stocks to the amount of revenues that they're actually generating at this point in time. The most in all of history. Eclipses 1929, 2000, 2007. So if you like buying stocks at the top or at the most expensive they've ever been, you have to have a good story that says, and here's why that's okay to do today. I don't think it's sufficient to say, well, it's worked out in the past, so it's going to be okay today. I think people have to be very defensive. And that's admittedly a contrarian point of view. Not everybody goes for that. Maybe that doesn't sound as optimistic as some would like. But the base data says this is a really unusual time in history. We've never been here before. So when we're doing something brand new, I like to say, all right, what are we doing new? And where could this lead? So if we took a chart and we said, show me the price of all the equities in the world, and then let's compare that to the central bank balance sheets. These two things work in perfect lockstep.
Mm-hmm.
They're going up together. So all we have to really ask is, can the central banks print forever? Well, they can, as long as they're all willing to sing kumbaya, hold hands, and there's no differences. But could we imagine a situation where Europe starts to depart from the United States, starts to depart from Japan, starts to depart from England or the UK? I can, particularly in this environment. I don't know how anybody looks at this political environment, looks at Europe potentially fragmenting, looks at the relationships that Trump is now establishing on a trade basis, if not a diplomatic basis, with all these other countries and says, oh, this will be fine. No worries.
So what do the other countries have to do? I don't understand. What do you mean they split from us? The all of a sudden somebody says, I'm not going to play this game anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And so, where do they go? Because if they're not going to play this game, they're not getting their gold back from us. I mean, Germany's not getting their gold back. So what do they do? How do you eject? Because this is the question that I get from people who know the central banks. Who's going to be the one who spits themselves out? Because they'll be destroyed first.
It might be Switzerland, for all I know. They have a different central bank. Their central bank now has assets, meaning they've bought Apple. They've bought Google. They've bought all kinds of assets as well as other debts of other countries. And the central bank now has a balance sheet that's more than 100% of the GDP of their country. That would be like the United States central bank, instead of $4.5 trillion, having more than $18 trillion on the books. So they're way over the tips of their skis. And all that has to happen for literally the central bank of Switzerland to bankrupt the entire nation is for those bets to start going against it. Now, I could imagine them saying, and sitting in their suits in their little oval offices with the nice dessert trolley on the side, I don't want to be responsible for bankrupting my entire nation. And they might say, I have to depart from this. I can't play this game anymore. It's too much.
But who's going to let them do that? That's, again, the wall is, who's going to let Switzerland do that? Because they know if they do it, then it's going to collapse everything. So who's going to, they're not going to block the door for Switzerland to dump all of that?
That's the million-dollar question, maybe the billion-trillion-dollar question, right? We don't know how this is going to play out, but look what's happening now with Greece central bank unable to cope with the banking situation in Greece. Italy, their banking system has non-performing loans of 20% of GDP. They can't possibly pay it back. Germany doesn't know what to do about how would they risk bailing out the Italian banks under this political environment where populism's on the rise, which is mostly this. Hey, every time you fat cats get in trouble, you bail yourselves out. And every time the little people get in trouble, you tell us that we have to pay for this and tighten our belts.
So you were on, a couple of months ago, we talked about bonds, municipal bonds, people, the pension funds,
mm-hmm.
And how these cities are not prepared to pay these pensions back. It's not going to happen. And you said once that catches on, once people really understand that, then the panic will ensue. How long before that happens?
I would submit it's already afoot, even in Dallas, where the police pension fund is known to be insolvent, and they had to block the gates because police were retiring early, taking out their lump sum distribution, which was encoded. That was the rule they agreed to. They said, when you retire, you're going to put all this money in. We're going to manage it for you. When you retire, you either take a stream of payouts or a lump sum. They started taking the lump sum because the police who were retiring could see that this is an insolvent fund. I better get mine out while I can. And they had to stop that. They gated the fund and said, you can't do that anymore. And that's going to spread. So look, you mentioned a key thing before, looking at $20 trillion in debt. It's just federal debt. Once we add in all the corporate debt and household debt and all those unfunded liabilities, the underfunded pension funds, the United States is carrying a load of debt that's measured in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. It's literally 1,100% of GDP. Oh my God. No country has ever dug out from a load that big. So, you know, when I was at a conference recently, I thought John Malden said it best. He said, people ask me if I'm worried about Social Security. I say, no, I don't worry about it because it won't be paid back. Nothing to worry about.
Right.
Here's the operative question in this story is, who's going to eat the losses? And right now, the people that you're talking to, they're being, I think, misled badly by media that's basically trying to say, this is all resolvable, it's okay, we'll get through it. And meanwhile, you watch the people who know the system best, we're removing their assets from the system really as fast as they can. And that's what bothers me most.
So the average person who doesn't have anything, the average person, maybe something in their 401k,
mm-hmm.
get it out of your 401k, put it into some sort of hard asset?
The basic advice I would give is if you have any non-productive debt, like you've got auto loans, student loans, maybe high credit card bills, pay those all off. Because that's what the lessons of the 30s taught us, was that debt was the stone-cold killer in that story. You know, Bank of America went from a cheesy regional bank out of San Francisco area to a national behemoth because they had money to buy broken mortgages, and they bought a lot of farmland and other things like that. So it was the debt on the farmland that hurt the farmers most. And so in this story, I say, get out of debt. Just don't have it if you can. Two, have some cash reserves. Absolutely have those built in. And if you have a 401k, you can't take it out for tax reasons.
So when we come back, I want to ask you about the debt thing again, because my grandfather used to always say the people who survived the Depression were the people who had money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same as just being out of debt.
Right.
And I want to talk to you about that when we come back. First, Pro Flowers. What does she want for Valentine's Day? I have absolutely no idea. And if anybody, any guy says he knows, he's lying to you. This year, Pro Flowers, making it easier than ever by taking all of the guesswork out. Right now, you can get 24 assorted roses with a free glass vase for $24.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can upgrade for $9.99 more. That's 24 long stem assorted roses with a premium vase and chocolate. ProFlowers.com. Use the promo code Glenn. Get your ProFlowers and check out within 2 minutes. They're guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back at ProFlowers.com. 24 assorted roses, free glass vase starting at $24.99. ProFlowers.com. Click on the blue microphone on the top of the right-hand corner and type in my name, Glenn. That's ProFlowers.com. Promo code Glenn.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Chris Martinson is here, and we were just talking about what you should do if you happen to believe the economy is not going to do well. And you said in the Depression, the lesson was be out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Is it enough to be out of debt?
It's not enough. It's a great first step. Debt is that stone cold killer. If you can't make your debt payments, you lose whatever it is the debt was associated with, right? So you might lose your car, your house, whatever that is. So being out of debt is really important. I know that's not an option for a lot of people, but still it's something we should aspire towards, and it's something that would make a huge difference. Being out of debt plus starting to build up cash is really important. And then you can use that cash to buffer the storms when they come, or to pick up the assets you want at a future point. But cash is a really certified, it's going to be a great, I think, for a while, it's going to be a good asset to hold on to. And then I think there's another part of the story coming, which is, look, the Federal Reserve printed like crazy. They rescued Wall Street. They drove financial prices up for stocks and bonds. That's what they meant to do. What didn't happen was they didn't get the economic patient revived again.
Correct.
You know, yes, we see new jobs coming, but you dig under the jobs data and they're all part-time jobs. They're all low-paying jobs. They're not the kind of jobs you say, yeah, that's the future. You know, that's really going to drive us to new prosperity in this country. We saw corporations get incentivized to buy their own shares back, right?
So this is happening. The Fed has been printing money and dumping it. It hasn't been working for the little guy. Mm-hmm. You say there's a part two. We'll get to that when we come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
All right. So Chris Martinson is here from peakprosperity.com, and we're talking a little bit about the economy and what is to come. And there is this weird switching of musical chairs where the right is now convinced that everything is fine, mm-hmm. and the left is now convinced that we're on the precipice. And I'm happy to say I haven't changed my position in two presidents.
Yep.
It what was coming in 2006 that we felt coming is still coming. We propped it up. It's still coming. It's going to be worse. You said that there's two parts to this. There's mm-hmm. the downside,
mm-hmm.
right? And part two?
Well, economically, there's first the downside, and then the Federal Reserve has to print more and more and more. They're going to keep trying the same thing over and over again, and it's not really going to work. I haven't changed my position over a couple of presidents either, because there's deeper structural things that we need to attend to. And that's part two. That's the part of the story I'm actually excited about, is can we finally have the conversation to say, who do we want to be? You know, where do we want to go as a country, and have that vision and really bring that forward?
Okay. Before we get there, tell me, they've printed all this money and it all went to the Wall Street fat cats.
Right.
Okay. I was just told by Wall Streeters that this is not true, Glenn. They're not buying back their own stock. The fundamentals are sound. And I said, you're starting to see the beginnings of inflation. There's no inflation on chicken. Mm-hmm. There is inflation in the stock market. That's inflation. That is inflated money, funny money, had by all the fat cats. They're dumping it in there. That's making the stock market go up and everybody feels good.
Right.
But the average person didn't get that money. Banks never lent that money to try to get a business loan. Now you're saying that they're going to print again. Where are they going to give the money this time?
This time it's got to go to Main Street. They've tried giving all this money to Wall Street. They'll keep doing that. The Federal Reserve and the other central banks are scared to death of even the most minor market correction. When the markets start to go down even a little bit, they come out and they use words, and I think they might even be using other means to drive the markets back up again. They're scared of that. But it hasn't really worked. When you look at overall economic growth, worldwide, United States, it's not there.
Right.
We're still accumulating debt at more than twice the rate that the economy is growing. Try doing that. You know, your credit card's growing at twice as fast as your income.
Jeez.
Doesn't work. It's a math problem. So to get around that math problem, they're going to have to give money to Main Street. And I'm talking like, you know, complete tax holiday next year, a check from the Federal Reserve, something like that.
For everybody?
Everybody. They'll have to do something like that.
Yay! I mean, it would be hard to be disappointed on a tax holiday.
Yeah, it would.
A complete tax holiday, that would be really hard to say no to. And they expect us just to then dump it into the system.
And I not only would expect people to do that, I'll encourage them to do that. As soon as that tax holiday comes, run, don't walk. And make sure you know what your buy list is going to look like, because that's when we're starting down to act two of this story.
Inflation, hyperinflation.
Which is hyperinflation and all of that.
Okay. because when they start dumping, you know, this is one of the guy, one of the guys said, Glenn, these corporations are going to get, you're going to get tax breaks and these corporations are going to repatriate their money. And I said, that's $15 trillion repatriated to the United States. Where's all that money going to go? It's either going to go to the stock market or they're going to start building factories and everything else. Then that's $15 trillion that is going to be seeping through the system. How do you not have inflation? And they said that wasn't a concern, and I didn't understand the math on that one, but that's what the experts told me.
Now, look, everybody fights their last battle, so when we say inflation, people think back to the 70s, where you had a wage-price spiral.
I'm thinking 30s.
Or 30s.
Right.
Right? But we're not having that world, so you're absolutely right in identifying, look, when you dump money into a market, you get inflation.
But we did. But we are getting inflation.
We are.
To the people who got the money.
Sure.
It's the stock market,
look
right?
Look at the trophy properties in Manhattan, in San Francisco, in London. Look at the price for rare gems, fine art, Gulfstream Fives. All very hard to come by, trophy islands, right? They dump the money in to the fat cats, and they've bid up everything they care about, right? All of those things I just mentioned, through the roof inflation. But people aren't recognizing it because we don't measure that when we look at the inflation measures. We measure chicken. This next part of the story is they start pushing the money in to the people, and that's where we get the other inflationary parts. Now, the real question is, does the rest of the world say, yeah, I'll continue to hold U.S. dollars under that circumstance? So you have corporations rushing their money back. Hey, but maybe the Bank of Iraq says we don't want dollars anymore. We don't like what you're doing. They start selling. China starts selling. That's when you start getting the external inflation that comes back into this country. Because we've been great exporters, fantastic, of dollars. We've done a lot of that. And we're just kind of hoping that that won't stop. Like, everybody will just continue to want to hold our dollars forever and ever, no matter what. And that's an assumption that really needs to be tested.
Well, preferably not in my lifetime, but... it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
You just said that coming to this realization has been the best thing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because it always makes me really miserable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at it and think, holy cow, I don't want to go through that.
Who cares and what's the use?
Yeah. Right. What's the use? What am I going to do about it?
So, listen, there's a lot of things I can't control in this story. I can't control what the Federal Reserve is going to do about money printing. I have some ideas. I think I know what they're going to do. What can I do about that? Nothing. I can, however, control my exposure to the dollar. So I have a lot of my assets out of the dollar. I have a lot of gold, a lot of silver, own real estate, tangible things, because we've seen this story before, right? From 1918 to 1923 in Austria, they went through the Weimar hyperinflation. They write books about it, and they talk about it as if the great wealth destruction, the middle class, was wiped out. And they still talk about it, oh, it's a wealth destruction. But not if you understand what wealth really is. Wealth is productive farmland, factories, hotels, the productive enterprises of the nation. Those didn't go away because they went through a hyperinflation, but who owned them, that changed a lot. So yes, in this story, it's already happening. You know who the largest landlord in America is right now? It's the Federal Reserve.
Government, yeah.
They own $1.75 trillion in mortgage-backed securities, which makes them the largest landlord in America. Where did they get that $1.75 trillion to own more real estate than anybody else in this country? Well, they printed it out of thin air. We should be talking about that. So this ownership is going to change a lot. So this is my advice to everybody. Is watch the trends, understand this is coming, and then own real assets.
But doesn't the ownership of more property in America by the Federal Reserve, isn't that just now once again the rich getting richer? I mean, this income, what was it? Somebody last night was doing income redistribution for the Super Bowl. That's not the answer. But there is a problem here, and I don't know how to solve that. You do have the uber fat cats, not the guys that are living in the fancy houses in most towns, but the uber billionaires that are up at the top of this banking problem and Wall Street problem. There's where they're sucking up all of the money.
Right.
So how do we solve that? So without riots in the street.
We're getting there already because they have that sucking sound is them sucking the economic oxygen out. Let's look at like rental prices in all the major cities have been going up at 8%, 9%, and 10% for the past 5 or 6 years. And the reason for that is you have big giant private equity companies. They get to borrow at 1%. So their rate of mortgage is a 1% mortgage and they're competing against you or I who might want to try and buy that apartment so we're not renting it. But our cost of capital is 4%, 4.5% on a mortgage. So they borrow at 1, unlimited, and buy up all these things because they can make that number work at 1%. And for you, it's harder to make it work at 4%, right? So they just have access to capital, and this is what Janet Yellen and the Central Bank of the United States, this is what they're defending. This is what they're saying has had no economic harm, that they haven't been driving this wealth gap that exists in America, but it's happening structurally because we haven't been able to face it as
right,
it exists.
We can't borrow the money that they can borrow.
Right. It's totally unfair playing field. It's shaped like this.
So how do we fix that? How does that fix it when they hold all the cards?
Well, this is a very big topic, but in my mind, we have to first confront the problem, understand it for what it is, and I think this is almost a cultural piece. I think it's time to actually not say, oh, it's this big private equity company, but let's call out the CEO of that company and let's make them understand that we're watching them. And I mean, maybe public shame used to be a feature, right? CEOs used to be ashamed to take more money than their workers back in the 50s and 60s. It was a thing that you wouldn't do that. Today, we've become shameless.
See, but I don't have a problem. You know, if you're the wealth creator, like I'm the wealth creator here, everybody is working for me. We all know key man insurance. I die, the company dies. Mm-hmm. So why should I not make more than the people who work?
Well, let's separate people who actually are generating, creating value and people who are skimming. All right. What I'm talking about, these people are just running skimming operations. They don't create anything. They're just running a skimming operation. I might pick on, for instance, in the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. They went after everything. I'm getting killed by this, by the way. My 61.5% increase this year, 25% Jeez. Last year, right?
Holy
and that's
cow.
Also dialing my way down through the bronze plans and, you know, all kinds right. of like deductible increases, all that. Where my anger, if not rage, comes up is when I open it up and discover that the CEO of Humana Healthcare took home $66 million last year. $66 million. And that's just him. You look at the rest of the C-suite, they might have skimmed $1 billion out of this. They weren't asked to contribute anything to this story, right? You would have to have over 4,500 families at my level paying into that system just to pay that one person's salary. What did he actually do? He skimmed. There's a level beyond which is there's a tougher story we have to get to here, but that's just gone off the rails. You ever see that old game show where they put somebody in a plexiglass thing and dollars around mm-hmm, and they're trying mm-hmm. to grab them as fast as they can? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the part of the story we're in. That's what it feels like. Everybody's just grabbing money as fast as they can because we all know that you can't print your way to prosperity. The money machine turns off at some point, so you might as well grab as much as you can while the fans are still blowing and the money's swirling.
Isn't that, that's market value though. Right? I mean, if his company is willing to pay him $66 million, then pay him $66 million.
Because who's else going to do it? Because they can make
right?
they can make $65 million someplace else.
Uh-huh.
So
isn't that the free market
that?
System? I'm not sure how you get around that. You can't make it equitable for everybody. It's never going to be. That's not capitalism. That's communism. We can make it equitable if it's bad for everybody, but we can't make it equitably good for everybody.
Yeah,
so the CEO of a major corporation is going to make a heck of a lot more than a worker with less education, with less skill.
And I'm concerned because there are some...
Less work ethic.
You know, there are things, you know, some of these CEOs, you know, the banks really bother me. Because they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what's happening. They know the game that's being played. They know that it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And they're not warning anybody. They're out there while they're taking tons of cash. However, I hate to say, you know, CEOs, because how do we know? I mean, that just gets into the mob mentality of get them.
Well, in this particular case, I'm talking about a highly regulated industry. So in my state, I live in Massachusetts.
There's your problem right there.
I know.
Highly regulated.
Well, it's regulated to the point that in my state, there's no competition allowed, right? I can't buy certain levels of insurance because they've been lobbied out of my state.
Correct.
So but that's not the CEO's fault. That's the government's fault.
Well, no, the CEO's created this.
Yeah, I will tell you, I'm with both of you here. It is the government, Pat, but it is the CEO's. What did Bill Gates just say his biggest problem was? His biggest problem was that he didn't feel at the time he created Microsoft that they needed the government. His deal was, I'm going to create what I create. You do your job. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Where Apple went and they partnered with the government. Mm. He said, Microsoft is paying the price right now because they didn't feel they needed somebody to go in. So you're kind of like the free market. If you have a fiduciary responsibility, I'm the CEO. I'm going to go, if my business competitor is going the other direction and they're going to the government, my fiduciary responsibility, isn't it to go to the government as well? I mean, this whole system.
Yeah, but again, that's government
broken.
Intervention, and it shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be there.
Right, but how many people have the principles to be able to hold fast, especially when you have shareholders beating you down the door? I mean, I don't have an answer. Here's our sponsor this half hour, My Patriot Supply. You believe any of this stuff? You believe any of this is going to come home to roost? Then you should be prepared. It's best to be prepared for the worst and then it doesn't happen. But if you're prepared for the worst and the worst does happen, then you'll be thankful. My Patriot Supply is standing by to help. And right now they're giving away their 4-week food supply for only $99. That's every breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 30 days, an entire month. Plus all the drinks and the snacks and everything else for $99. You will not find this deal anywhere else. Call 800-200-7163 or you can order online at preparewithglenn.com. Units with the $99 price are shipped free and they are limited. 4 weeks of food, $99, 800-200-7163 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Chris Martinson is with me today for the think tank. You don't want to miss that at 5 o'clock today. And we're just talking off the air. The reason why nobody discusses this on television or radio or anywhere else is it is there's a lot of context to it. And it's very... it's very difficult to understand in a 2-minute soundbite. Even we just did 44 minutes. In 44 minutes, it's very difficult to understand because everyone everywhere else is telling you the exact opposite.
You in just, 140 characters.
Yeah. I tell you that Thomas Jefferson line, fix reason firmly in her seat and question with boldness even the very existence of God. For if there be a God, he must surely rather honest questioning over blindfolded fear has never been more true than it is right now. Fix reason firmly in her seat.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.